your AMAC podcast, Better for America. And today we are honored to have with us the co-founder of Moms for Liberty. That's Tiffany Justice. Now, Tiffany stepped up to the plate 4 years ago to help defend our children and our grandchildren, as well as her own kids, by volunteering to serve on a Florida school board, chiefly to bring home the message that kids deserve innovation and parents have a right to know when teachers and teacher unions interfere with the rights of kids and their parents. Tiffany Justice then co-founded Moms for Liberty. Now, Moms for Liberty stands up for parental rights with enormous positive effects at the national, state, and local levels. They're exposing destructive policies that directly harm families and children. Moms for Liberty is a group shaking the nation, and so I am honored to have with us today co-founder Tiffany Justice on the show. Tiffany, welcome.
Thank you for having me today.
It is great to have you here. And one of the big features of Moms for Liberty has been that you are really giving truth to the idea that parents oversee their kids, right? And that parents should be empowered to define what is best for their children, not the administrators, not the school unions, or the left-leaning political actors. And so I'd like for you to share with us, our members are interested and they love your organization. If you could share with us your story and what really motivated you and led you to form such a powerful organization. And then what does Moms for Liberty do daily to restore parental influence back in the local community and elsewhere in the country?
Great. So thank you for having me on. Really, it's such a pleasure to be able to speak to your membership. Moms for Liberty was founded in January of 2021. You're right. I had just finished 4 years serving on school board in my local community. Tina Deskovich, the co-founder of Moms for Liberty, served in the county north of me, but we didn't really know each other very well. We knew of each other. And then once COVID hit, we both saw that we were on the downside of a lot of votes, a lot of 4-1 votes. People that were restricting our parental rights. And then we were the ones saying, wait a second, we don't co-parent with the government. And that's what we say at Moms for Liberty. We do not co-parent with the government. We will partner with our children's schools. But parents have the fundamental right to direct the upbringing of their children. That is a right that the government does not give you and they cannot take it away. And so very much trying to help parents to recognize that they are the best expert of their child and that they need to be a part of every conversation that is happening for their child at school and at all levels of government. And so really, this idea of anyone having a guiding hand, left-leaning, right-leaning, these aren't partisan issues. These are parent issues, right? These aren't political issues. These are fundamental issues about family in America. And what we know to be true is that moms and dads love their kids and they should be steering the ship.
That is very true indeed. Here at AMAC, we believe and recognize that family is so fundamental and so important in the development of children. And we ought to be empowering families and doing all that we can to get parents involved. It just astounds me when we see what's happening. And we're trying to bring truth to this matter because it really is a threat to our future and to the future generation of children. Moms for Liberty recently held a summit and you put such a bright light on the critical issues that many people aren't familiar with. And it actually appears very innocuous. It sounds nice, right? But we're learning that this is not a harmless program at all. In fact, it's a real threat. Can you explain more about this program and what is afoot here? What should we all be more informed about?
So there was something called the Promise Program that was really aimed at reducing school-related arrests. And we saw it implemented in Broward County. If that county sounds familiar to you, that is the county where there was a horrible school shooting at Marjorie Douglas High School on February 14th in 2018, where 17 people, 14 students and 3 adults lost their lives. What we found was that in that case, that child, that student that became that active shooter had been part of something called the Promise Program, where students are not being held accountable when there are disciplinary issues happening at the school that rise to the level of a criminal nature. And so what we learned was that students need accountability and that we need to be aware of these issues when they're happening so that we can address the issue so that it doesn't escalate to the point of someone feeling so disconnected and so angry that they take on something like what happened at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas and take the lives of so many people. Unfortunately, unfortunately, it doesn't seem like we've learned anything from the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas shooting. And what we see in places like Chicago Public Schools is an effort to continue to remove law enforcement from schools and to have more, you can do a little search for Chicago Public Schools and their discipline. They plan on a lot of kumbaya circles, a lot of hand-holding. But the truth is that teachers are leaving in droves, and the teachers union would like for you to think that it's somehow because parents are upset about outcomes in schools or what's happening in schools. The truth is that the students are unruly. The teachers have no ability to be able to control and discipline the students. And programs like the Promise Program that tie teachers' hands and administrators' hands in order to try to make discipline data look prettier, is not the way forward in American education. Schools do this with, I like to say that schools do two things very well. They celebrate themselves very well, and they protect themselves very well. And sometimes they celebrate themselves to protect themselves. And we see that with rankings, for example. School districts will come out and say, well, we've risen in the rankings. Well, when you really dive down into the data, did the school improve or did other districts just get worse? And so we have these situations where school districts like to try to change what the data looks like so that they can try to make it seem like they're doing a better job than they actually are. The Promise Program is something that needs to come to an end. Restorative justice is what happens in the schools. And while it seems like a good idea to be able to talk through some of these discipline issues with students, and sometimes maybe it is, there are some infractions that are happening in schools that need to be taken much, much more seriously than just telling the student to try to have a better day.
Yeah, you clearly, it seems, have the unions and these left-leaning political actors on their heels. And I know that you're going to keep pushing for parental rights. And, you know, Tiffany, what we're really seeing is unions and administrators trying to re-educate, indoctrinate our children with ideas that make them question their country, their democracy, you know, democracy as a whole, liberty, society, and their gender. After 50 years of fighting for girls to get the same academic and athletic rights as boys, and now the left is pushing destructive ideas that are affecting children's safety and even their ability to receive scholarships to get into college. I know that there are public movements emerging, like the group called Gays Against Groomers, which ultimately is a coalition of gay people who oppose the recent trend of indoctrination and sexualizing children under the guise of LGBTQ. Do you see groups like this being an effective way to fight back against this ideology? And if not, how else can we push back to abolish this leftist delusion?
I think it's absolutely very important to have everyone being a part of this national conversation about what is appropriate to have happening in our public education system. We're all invested. So for your members, I say, please get involved. Gays Against Groomers is a group of people who may or may not have children, but are very concerned about the fact that the LGBTQ movement or LGB movement is being perverted and is being used in order to somehow allow for drag queen story hours and gender transition of 5-year-olds. This is craziness that a 5-year-old would walk into a classroom and be told that just because they may have some certain biological body parts, that may not determine the sex that they are, the gender that they are, that they could be a tree that day if they wanted to be, and they could use any number of pronouns that they might like. I can only imagine what your members would think, how disconcerting, right, that is for a child to be told that at such an early age. There is a wedge that is being driven between the parent and the child, and it's being done very intentionally. There's a man named James Lindsay. He started something called New Discourses. If you're looking for a podcast to listen to understand where some of the roots of this takeover of public education, he calls it the Marxification of education, is coming from, it's coming from Marx and a lot of these ideas of critical theory. And so critical race theory is something that people should be very concerned about. This idea that we're telling children that there are oppressors and oppressed, and that somehow they're locked into a trajectory in their life and they're not the steward of their own ship, they can't govern themselves, that outside influence has more to do with them than what they're able to accomplish on their own. We know that isn't true. We had Dr. Ben Carson at the summit, and he spoke about the fact that there are such wonderful possibilities for every child in the classroom, but we are not unfolding the full potential of every child. So we are in a place right now where every American has a role to play. Some ideas, if you're looking for a way to get involved in your local community, find your Moms for Liberty chapter. You can go to our website at momsforliberty.org. There's a big map there. You can click on that map, see if we have a chapter in your area. If we don't have one, you can start one. You don't have to have kids in school right now in order to be a chapter leader. We have a lot of grandparents that are running chapters and helping parents to understand and recognize, again, you are the best expert for your own child. I think during COVID, we had an expert class that failed American parents. We had become reliant on other people making decisions for us or kind of steering things. But then we heard things like the American Academy of Pediatrics telling moms that babies don't need to see your face. Every mother who is listening to this right now knows inside of yourself that your baby needs to see your face. And then if your face is covered all day, you won't have the same connection with your child. And so when American parents hear those things coming out of these associations, we need to push back. And grandparents and mature Americans can stand up and say, this isn't the way that it has to be. We remember a time where there were boundaries between school and home. And we do need every American and every mature American to stand up and say, here's what it looks like. Here's what it can look like. Let's get back to that.
Yeah. You know, I have a 4-year-old granddaughter who I absolutely adore. She is the apple of my eye. I just can't get enough time with her. And she is just this cute little girl and so innocent. And she loves animals. And she's got these little animals, a very big, let's just call it a horse, a little bit of a smaller horse, and then a baby horse. And she's naming them a mommy horse, a daddy horse, a baby horse, right? And she's so thrilled to be able to understand and learn. She's taking her own family structure and she's applying it to this. Now, I would say that she would be very confused if me as her grandmother said, well, wait a minute now, and started to introduce other ideas. I don't think that would be healthy for my granddaughter. She's just learning that a girl is a she and a boy is a he. She's learning this on her own through language, picking it up, and she's correcting herself. I can't imagine how confusing it must be for these young preschoolers, elementary school children, to be thrown this information. They've just got to get to know themselves better. It seems like there's this wacky, strange culture that has entered the United States of America, and it's being embraced by people like Kamala Harris. I want to mention this too, and I hope that we can show the clip. I couldn't believe it. She was sitting at a round table. This is Kamala Harris, and she introduces herself, and she says, I'm Kamala Harris. I'm a she and a her.
Good afternoon. I want to welcome these leaders for coming in to have this very important discussion about some of the most pressing issues of our time. I am Kamala Harris. My pronouns are she and her. I am a woman sitting at the table wearing a blue suit.
It was so odd, and I'm thinking, this is what they want to push. They want to push gender confusion. They want... it seems to embrace gender dysphoria. Now you, Tiffany, you have been labeled as a hateful person. You've been labeled as, I believe Twitter went after you for a comment that you made regarding gender dysphoria. Can you share that story with us?
Yes, recently, last week, actually, I posted a tweet, and it was regarding a Senate bill in California, SB 107. You can go and take a look at it. It was sponsored by a gentleman, Senator Scott Wiener. It's only one of his many crackpot ideas, to be honest with you. It's ridiculous. But what SB 107 said was basically that California would become a sanctuary state for transgender children, that it would override all other laws and state laws and all other parental rights, but that if you made it to California as a child, I guess runaway, or if adult brought you into California, that you could become a ward of the state, and then the state will then help you and pay for gender transition surgery without the knowledge or consent of the parent. There's no data to support that happening. There is no data to say that a child would be better off being in foster care in another state and transitioning than staying at home with the parent and not transitioning. And so I called that out. It seems to me like a Pied Piper situation where you have Scott Wiener, you know, blowing the flute, calling all children who are upset with their parents because parents are telling their kids no. As parents, we know that sometimes the most loving thing you can say to your child is no. And so I called that out and I said that gender dysphoria is a mental health disorder. It is classified as a mental health disorder. And that's something that's just the truth. And then I said that there were predators in California that were looking to indoctrinate children and that all American parents needed to be aware of the fact that these predators would like to liberate children. And I put liberate in quotation marks and have them come to California. The last part of the tweet was I said that does a preteen getting a mastectomy sound like progress to you? And I want to be clear so that your members understand. Right now, there are over 40,000 young girls on GoFundMe looking for money, asking for money for what's called top surgery. That's what they call it, to remove their breasts, permanently removing their breasts. What is going on in this country that we have a generation of these girls, it's rapid onset gender dysphoria, girls in their preteen, teen years that are not, that don't want to be women. And I've said in many interviews, if you're a woman, I'd like to please raise your hand if middle school puberty was like an easy thing for you, right?
Who wants to go back and be 13 again? You know what I mean? Like those were the hardest days of our lives. Right. And boy, have we changed. We're not the same people that we were when we were 15 and 16 and 17 to be making these decisions so early in life. I think is dangerous. And we've heard those stories too of people who have said, you know, there are probably better options than to do something so permanent and dangerous. And then of course, without having parents weigh in, these are minors, many of these young girls. And we're seeing this just across the board. Boy, I just feel so overwhelmed sometimes. I feel I cannot believe this is all happening here in America. And this is why your voice is so important. And we appreciate what you're doing, because there are those that are really working to concentrate power. Yet we know that in our Bill of Rights, that power doesn't, it belongs to us individuals. You know, it doesn't belong to other people. It belongs to families and parents and kids who will be the future of this country. So somehow, go ahead.
No, I just want to say, I think it's not just me. I mean, you know, we want to find a seat at the table for parents at every level, right? So I get to talk with you today and represent over 100,000 members and help to amplify their concerns, what they're seeing on the ground. But it's really the moms and dads and community members and American citizens on the ground doing the work, holding their local government accountable, running for elected office and calling these things out. You know, we got banned on Twitter. They suspended us. I appealed. They said it was hateful what I had posted. I don't know what part of that was hateful. And then they ignored us for a week. Twitter is the town square. If you're not on there, that's okay. But for those that are on there, press and elected officials and a lot of people doing a lot of different work in a lot of different areas, there's a big conversation going on Twitter. And Twitter decided to censor us. I deleted the tweet because I don't believe that Twitter is the arbiter of truth. They think it's hateful. I asked them why. They won't answer me. Oh, well, PayPal suspended some of our subscribers the other day. You can donate to us monthly and set up that plan. And we are we really funded ourselves in t-shirt sales for the first year. So we have, you know, we rely on small donations. PayPal the other day just cut us off, sent all of our subscribers were sending us emails after Governor DeSantis spoke at our summit. And so we recently were able to be at a press conference with Governor DeSantis where Tina was able to say, you know, PayPal has basically cut us off and we can't do business with them. And lo and behold, a couple of days later, we were back in business with PayPal. But I say this to tell you, we have to stand up and speak out. We have to make sure that we know and we let everyone know that, you know, woke banking isn't going to be okay. We'll move our money, right? We'll change where we're doing business. And so just again, a role for everyone to play here. And I certainly just want to say it is not me doing all the work. We have, you know, hundreds of thousands of people, I think parents all over the country that are getting involved in lots of different ways.
Well, Tiffany, it was just a pleasure to have you with us today. I am optimistic because of people like you. I'm optimistic about our future. I do think that when we have people that are willing to step up, speak out, volunteer, vote, know who you're voting for, know that the our elected officials are people that share your values. This is all so important. Tiffany, thank you so much for all that you're doing and for your leadership. Really, on behalf of our AMAC members, we appreciate you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the opportunity to be able to speak today.
It was wonderful to have you on. all of our listeners, check out your website. We've got the URL right here. It's in the bio. It's on the link. It's all over the page. And I want to thank you all for tuning in today. And if you haven't downloaded the AMAC News app, you can watch and listen to this podcast and plus track all kinds of breaking news right there on your smartphone. Please make sure to hit that subscribe button, follow, like, and share wherever you are on social media. Until next time, I'm Rebecca Weber. This is your podcast, Better for America. Thank you for being here. God bless you and have a great day, everyone.
You're listening to the Better for America podcast, presented by AMAC, the Association of Mature American Citizens. To learn more about AMAC and all it has to offer, visit us at www.amac.us.